So today we're going to start a series called Grace Healed Eyes. Grace Healed Eyes. And that is not how we see God. We spent a lot of time in the beginning of the year, and that's huge, isn't it? That our eyes need to be truly seeing God for who he actually is. We've spent a fair amount of time at different times at Miracle Life of allowing our eyes to be adjusted to see ourself as God sees us. So sometimes we don't view ourselves well, but we're going to take some weeks to look at how our eyes need to be adjusted to see one another, to see one another. And again, when we see God, the Bible just simply tells us what he is like. And so we can trust that what he says about himself is true, and we can believe him that he is that way. Same thing about ourselves. When we begin to talk about how we see one another, this is challenging. Because if you've noticed, there is incredible diversity in the world. Those of you who are married, how many of you discovered, like 5 days after your honeymoon, there's like huge diversity? Reverend Tony Cook, that was here last week, he said he grew up with three brothers, and when he got married, just being around a woman was new to him. Same thing for me. I grew up with three brothers. We just played sports and fought, and life was good. And then I got married, and it's like, I kind of wanted to play sports and fight, but that's not the way it should work. So, I'm glad you don't have a microphone right now. Okay. So, we're the people in the world, we're different. And there are a lot of ways in which we are different. And so what happens is those differences cause us to see one another not biblically. Either sometimes from a superior point of view, I'm better than you because of blank, or inferior. I guess I'm not as good as you because of blank. Maybe my ethnic, the way I was born, or my education, or my money, or my age, or my position in life, or my gender. And so we see one another. And the Bible is just loaded with help and admonition for us to see one another correctly in the light of God's truth. Now, the world that we live in, 2019, among non-Christians, they're more aware of this than before. And non-Christians not using the Bible are there's more of an idea of diversity is good and we're all one big family. But I firmly believe that you can only get so far without God. You can only get so far without a transformation of the heart and a transformation of the eyes, okay? And so sometimes I think we fool ourselves. You know, maybe people like me, last year, oh man, wasn't Black Panther awesome? Yeah, it was, okay. But here's the thing, it's more than movies, it's more than music, right? You know, and people who are here today and say, you know, Pastor, I really enjoy a good chicken tikka masala. And I just feel I'm so diverse and culturally relevant. Well, it's more than eating curry. Curry's awesome. Okay. So let's dive into the Word of God and let God speak to us. Now, huge, huge admonition up front, and I'm going to maybe say this every week, is this sermon is not for truck drivers in South Africa who are pulling out foreigners and beating them up. This is not for them. They don't go to church here. All right? This is not for whatever political party of Zambia you think really needs to hear this. This is for you. This is for me. And I think one of the maybe advantages we have at Miracle Life is we're not on you know, we're not on worldwide TV. So everything that's prepared is for your consumption. Okay, so this is God speaking to us, all right, and to me. And so please, please, as we get into this, please don't think, oh man, my uncle needs to hear this. My boss needs to hear this. Those South Africans need to hear this. We need to hear this. We need to hear this. Amen? All right. Because even though we can try to hold hands in the natural, eventually it breaks down. Okay, let me give you an example. last week, Reverend Tokes Adjouan, amen? Adjouan? Okay, I give up. That's why I call him Tokes. Okay, all right. That's a good week to talk about that. All right. So anyway, he was here. His wife came in the evening. And when we were in Tulsa together, his wife's father, Akuna's father, passed away while we were together in Tulsa on a Tuesday. And so we heard about it, and we, you know, gave her some hugs and prayed and loved on her and everything. And so me, having lived in Zambia for 15 years, I said, so Akuna, are you looking at flights? Are you going to be getting back to Nigeria? No, it's okay. I'll get back when I get back. And I'm thinking, okay. So she said, no, we've got some relatives from the UK, and we knew he was on some of his last days, and so our hearts were prepared. And so they got back to Abuja, and Reverend Tokes sent me a text, we're back. I said, oh, great, how's the family? How's things with the funeral? He said, no, things are great. We've had a meeting. We've set the, this was, this would have been February 18th or 19th, somewhere around there. We've set the date for the funeral in mid-May. Now, see, I'm looking at some of your face. You can't even speak right now. You're just, you know? So, we're together. But you're like, no, I'm sorry. I just can't handle that, right? So how do we see one another if we're not just going to do it in the natural? Because it's going to break down eventually. We use the Bible. All right, so there's going to be some biblical facts that we look at today, biblical facts that I really believe will lay the foundation as we go forward, because we're going to drill down at different groups that we view. So how do we view each other as men and women, genders? How do we see one another? All right, so we're going to really drill down, but we want to lay a biblical foundation. One biblical fact today is all people bear God's image. All people bear God's image. Genesis 1:26, God had created the heavens and the earth, and then he filled them. Created a space, put stuff in it. Days 1-5. Now it comes to day 6. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So already before we were even here yet, when God's just saying what he's going to do, he already had in his mind, they're going to be different. I'm going to make diversity from his initial thoughts. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed Adam And God said to Eve, make sure you have a male covering so that you can be blessed in life. Oh, no, sorry. Sorry about that. I meant to tell you in the beginning, if you come to all these series, you're going to get mad eventually. Okay. A dear friend of mine said one time, when you hear biblical truth, it's the truth that offends you the most that you need the most. Okay. So God blessed them. Who's them? Male and female. He blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So, the animals were not made using God as the model. They were animals. God had creativity when he made them. When he made us, he used himself. We bear his image. And that means every person on planet Earth and the ones that are different than you bear God's image. And so we get comfortable with what we see in the mirror, and we get comfortable with what we see in our family. And if you've done any little bit of traveling or met people from different places, there are times where, you know, we can be kind and gracious and everything, but the back of our mind is just saying, this is freaking me out. This is just weird, all right? And there are obviously different ways that people speak and greet and think and eat and do. Guess what? All of that was by God's divine design, all right? So those different than you bear the image of God. No one on planet Earth bears 80% of God's image, and then these people have 20% of God's image. All right. If you look at the history of the world, there's just a sad, sad thread of certain groups that say we are the ones, we are the chosen ones, we are the best ones. All right. That is an affront to the Bible. You cannot believe that and believe the Bible at the same time. You can't. And so I am asking you, submit your mind to biblical authority. Amen. Stop lying to yourself. All right? So, what is the first question that we ask a couple who has a baby? What size are his ears? Does he have lots of hair? What's the first question? Is he a... What compartment should we put them in? All right? So this thing of being different, oh my goodness, it starts at birth. Right? And I don't know who decided. Little baby, little boys wear blue. Right? Who decided that? I don't know. Somebody decided that somewhere. Okay? So with this distinction, all right? And so what we have to, if all of us bear the image of God, and everyone else bears the image of God, and God created them male and female, then what that means is our distinction is not the best distinction. It's not the highest distinction. It's not a superior distinction. It is simply a distinction. All right? Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And when we read this, at first you think, well, Paul, this is a really wise sermon, and it's just so good. But when you understand the cultural background of who he's speaking to, Paul, this isn't just a good sermon. He is jabbing the people of Athens in the face purposefully for their what they believe about themselves. But we'll get to that. Acts 17, 22, Paul's in Athens. All right, so it is the center of the Greek world and thought. And so he's there. And so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious." And then he says, "Why? For as I passed along, I observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." Now he's going to talk about the known God, the God who's made himself known. Verse 24, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Verse 26, "And he made," so God, the creator of the earth, "he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." And there was a purpose for all these people, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Look at verse 26. All right. So from one man, you and I know that because Paul had the same Hebrew Bible that we have. That was Adam and his wife Eve. From one man, from one couple came every nation of mankind to live all on the face of the earth. All right. Now, we hear the word nation and we think of a boundary. And it does talk about boundaries here. But the Greek word nation there is ethnos, ethnic groups. All right. So obviously, in a nation that has a border, there can be many different ethnic groups. Some have more than others. Okay. So from one man, God, who did it? God made all the ethnic groups. God made all the ethnic groups. He didn't make one higher. He didn't make one lower. None of the ethnic groups were cursed by God or given a mark by God. That is a false teaching. False. Keep coming. We'll look at why that's so false and devilish. All right. God, from one man, from Adam. All right. Who knows what Adam looked like? All right. Because in him were all the ethnic groups of the world. Okay. In that DNA, God put it in that one guy. All right. And in his wife. So from that, all the ethnic groups were made by God. God's design. Not some random chance of natural selection and evolution. Do you see that? Because really, evolution kind of leads us to believe that maybe we're better than each other. I've evolved higher than you. No. The fact that I have ears this way or hair this way or whatever is because God designed ethnic groups. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that fantastic? I am crafted by God to be me. All right? That is fantastic because sometimes I get a little annoyed sometimes because my skin burns and the struggle is real sometimes. All right, but anyway. Okay, now, why do I say that Paul was kind of jabbing at the men of Athens? Well, Athenians, and again, people do this, they make up this stuff to feel better about themselves. The Athenians believed that their people, the people of Athens, came from the dirt of Athens. They were born out of the dirt, meaning that we were here first. We're not immigrants. We are the natural people of Athens, and everybody else shouldn't be here other than us. Okay? I know sometimes we use this terminology that, we'll refer to a certain group of people or whatever and say, oh, that one, boy, he's a real son of the soil. He's a real son of the soil. Well, I've got a little bit of bad news for all of us. We are all immigrants. Adam didn't live in Zambia or the United States or India or wherever you're from. He didn't live there. We all moved somewhere. Okay? And if you go back into your family tree and some of your identity, you know what you'll find? You moved here. You moved there. Right? Some groups here, Shaka Zulu was going crazy in South Africa. And, come on. For real, right? No one is a son of the soil. We're crafted from Adam, and all of our ethnic groups were designed by God. By God. The image of God. Amen. Amen. So all of us have a history, but that history is based on the design of God to be how we are. And isn't it sad sometimes that, you know, when it comes to gender, God created them male and female. And sometimes when people have kids, hey, what'd you have? Oh, I had a boy. I was hoping for a girl. Well, but God created them male and female. They're both awesome. Right? Man, certain parts of the world, it just, if you have a certain gender, man, you're just kind of out of luck. In fact, even sadly, in our world history is, certain genders, they just kill them, like right at birth. Because I'm going for this one. Well, what does that tell the whole society? It means that this gender is somehow intrinsically better. Again, a devilish, devilish thought. All right. I want to read to you this quote from John Piper, pastor. And I couldn't improve on saying this, so... And I'm not as smart as he is, so I'm just going to read verbatim. This is so, so wonderful and so biblical, if you can throw that up. No matter what the skin color or facial features or hair texture or other genetic or cultural traits, every human being in every ethnic group has an immortal soul in the image of God, a mind with unique God reasoning powers, a heart with capacities for moral judgments and spiritual affections, and a potential for relationship with God that transforms us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. This image of God sets every person utterly apart from all the animals which God has made. Every human being, whatever color, shape, age, gender, intelligence, health, or social status, is made in the image of God. This is true of all human beings in every ethnic group. And all these groups are by God's design. We just read it. From one man, He created all the ethnotes. Who did it? Who made it? God made it. God made it that way. All right? So, this quote doesn't really make sense unless we read Genesis 1 in Acts 17, but it's very consistent with those two scriptures. So what do we do with this information? Well, Pastor John has got a wonderful admonition for us. Next verse, quote here. So we are put on alert to beware of our prejudices. If we find in our hearts a distaste for the ethnic diversity of the world... So if we find that in our heart, not the truck drivers in South Africa. Get your mind off the truck drivers in South Africa or the Rwanda genocide. Just forget about that, right? Or the colonial oppressors. Forget all of that stuff. We're talking about you, me. So if we find in our hearts a distaste for the ethnic diversity of the world, With all its many physical, linguistics, and cultural dimensions, we should fly to God for his justifying and transforming grace. I don't know if anybody needs here to book a flight. Amen. Now, let me say, I want to just pause here. As I've been thinking about this sermon series probably for about 5 years, honestly, I believe that different types of churches, different nations, different groups have certain ways in which we can represent God very well. And if you understand, and if you've done any little bit of the history of Zambia, you realize that Zambia has tried to help different nations with their divisions and differences, right? And that's a wonderful history to have. But I believe God wants to up it, infuse it by his Spirit. And not just, in a sense, political dialogue, which is not bad if it's done well, but to truly make it something, a force for God in the world, that we can be people that see people accurately and through the lens of God. And I believe this will help us to get there. All right, so what's one biblical fact? Every person is created in the image of God. Awesome, great. Okay, the second biblical fact is not as encouraging. Every single person on planet Earth is lost in their sin. Lost. And again, this is where we break down with humanistic and natural ways. Well, we're all God's children. No. The Bible makes it really clear, without Jesus, we are literally the children of the devil. We are objects of the wrath of God. We're not good without Jesus. They don't tell you that on CNN. God bless CNN, BBC. Right? They don't tell you that on Al Jazeera. We're lost without God. Romans chapter 3. This is kind of now Paul's summary. If Paul was a lawyer, he's given his evidence in chapter 1 and chapter 2 that, boy, there's any distinct kind of four different ways of thinking. Those that have kind of just given up on morality, they're lost. You who point a finger at those people, you're lost. You're just as guilty as them. Jews without Jesus, lost. All right? And so now he comes to this summary statement here, Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Jews and Greeks. Zambians and Zimbabweans. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, we are a Christian nation. Yeah, we'll not deal with that today. All right. But I think you would agree biblically that there was a little baby we saw 2 days ago, and so that little baby was born in a Christian nation. You do realize it didn't get automatically born again because it was born in a Christian nation? You realize that, right? Okay. So, Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. Okay, so now Paul is quoting from Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. And they're almost verbatim to each other. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Because you were thinking about somebody. And he said, no, not that one either. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Not talking about human goodness, all right? Now, why can God make such a bold and audacious judgment? All are guilty without Jesus. Who gives him the right to say that? Well, read this psalm, Psalm 67, 1-4. There's a reason. Psalm 67, verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Salah, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all the nations. How many nations need his saving power? All the nations. If there was a nation that had an inside track, then it wouldn't need his saving power. Verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. You see, God, when he judges, there's not a group that has an inside track based on his judgment. There's nobody that has a head start. Or that nobody that's, he judges fairly and with equity all the nations. All right, so all people are created in the image of God. All people are lost. Now let's get back to the good news. All people are valuable enough for Jesus to die for them. All people are valuable enough for Jesus to die for them. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture has confined all under sin. That's a scriptural thing. The scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ may be given to those who believe. Who are the those? Well, it's the all. Those who believe come from the all. All right, let's look at another scripture. There's one of these you know quite well, John 3:14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Everybody say, whoever. Whoever, whoever. That means there are people that are whoever that are different than you, right? So that's whoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, there's that word again, whoever, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone. Everyone. Everyone who believes. And then there was this distinction back then for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Jesus came to the lost tribe of Israel. Paul had a heart for the Jews. God was reaching out to them. We should put a huge, huge circle in our Bible around also. The promise is for you and also for people who don't look like you. For people you don't particularly like. For people, when you read the history books, you think, whoa, there were some not cool people from that certain group that did something years ago. Guess what? The gospel is for everyone, for me and also people not exactly like me. It's for everyone. This was God's plan from the beginning. So while this happened through Jesus, this wasn't something that God kind of figured out and changed his plan. No. This is what he said to Abraham in the very, very beginning when he was still Abram. Genesis 12, verse 3, and in you, Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Are you okay with other families other than you getting blessed? That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And through Abraham, the line of the Messiah, Jesus came. He's the seed that came to crush the serpent's head. And so that is how all the families of the earth get blessed. It's through Jesus. All right, so everyone's created in God's image. Everyone's lost apart from Jesus. But Jesus died for all. So one way is that we view people who don't know Jesus yet, we view them as people who need to know the gospel. And we'll have probably a whole session on this, but we don't despise them because we were them before the grace of God appeared to us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved." Can't say it any more clearly than that. "And to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Okay? So everyone needs a Savior. And so we see people who've not even yet heard of the Savior or perhaps right now are rejecting the Savior. We see them as valuable and precious. Amen. Regardless of whatever their religion may or may not be, they're not our enemies. They are people for whom we should bring the gospel to. All right? Now, in the end of the book of the Bible, John saw, fast forward, spoiler alert, he saw what was going to happen. And he saw in Revelation chapter 5, oh, I'll be honest, I'm looking forward to this day. I really am. Pastor, are you dying? Yeah, I'm dying one day, not tomorrow, but not next week. But, oh, I'm so looking forward to heaven. And here at the throne of God, they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and ethnos." Every tribe, every nation, every ethnic group. It would seem to me that heaven is not segregated. What are we to pray? "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In this in-between time now, the kingdom has partially come. It's not fully come. But heaven is a wonderful model. Every group of people. And notice what it says. He says, "You made us. You made us into kings and to priests." We didn't do it. You made us. You created us to be in your family. All right, so there's not a self-made person in heaven. They're God-made. He made us. And so that means God's making me, he's making you, he's making different people all over the world in the family of God. So something happened to each of us. I was made a king and a priest, so were you. And so that making then brings us together, and it causes things to be united, all right? There's a text here that, oh, this is so, so wonderful, Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm sure we'll refer back to this, but notice what happens in Christ, because many, many times we kind of think of what happens to me. I'm a brand new creature, yay for me, I'm a brand new man. Well, see, the fact is, that happened to me, it happened to you, so then we're brought together in Christ. Look at Ephesians 2:11, speaking to people who were not Jews in the past, they were idol-worshipping Gentiles. Ephesians 2:11, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles, in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision." So Jews used to call you uncircumcised. That's what David called Goliath, remember, on the battlefield? "You uncircumcised Philistine." All right. So is there a difference? Yeah, there's a difference. All right. But that's what's made in the flesh by hands. That's a human thing. Okay. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Yep, that's us. But now it changes. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Not just by being tolerant to each other. No. That's not bad, but there's something higher than that. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Now notice, watch what happens here. Who has made us, remember in Revelation, he made us kingdom, a priest. He made us. He has made us both one. He has made us both one. Jew and Greek, male and female, different ethnic groups, different cultural language groups, different educational backgrounds, economic statuses. He has made us both one. 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 And then he did something else. All right? He made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. He broke the dividing wall of hostility. And it's so sad that even Christians create hostility. How many of you know we should only be building what God's building? Brought near how? By the blood. He is our peace. He is our peace. There are no longer two. The two have become one from the two. And so for Christians to argue that there should still be division in the body of Christ, it is devilish. It is literally devilish. Because one of the things, the devil's kind of his, one of his primary job descriptions that we see from the Bible, one of his acts is he simply opposes the things of God. If God is for it, he's against it. He's working to oppose that. All right? He has made us both one. So what does that mean? Well, that means that there's not this hostile dividing fence or wall between Christians. All right? Keep reading. Let's keep reading here. Verse 15. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. Now, in this context, it's Jews and Gentiles. That was one of the big dividing lines. And boy, you read the book of Acts, it took them a while to get that. All right, but this is why he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God. See, here's the deal. Everyone has fallen together. Everyone has fallen together. All groups. There is no history of the world where one nation or one ethnic group can say, you know, for centuries, we've been doing it right. Boy, I tell you, we just have immaculately followed God and his ways. No. Now, are some more heinous or terrible? Yeah, probably. But we've all fallen together. We all need to be reconciled to God together. But just like we heard last week, Tony Cook, boy, he set up this sermon beautifully. I didn't ask him to preach on it, but when the vertical between God and man is made right, that is what affects the horizontal with each other. That's what affects the horizontal. He made one new man in place of the two. Okay. God made the ethnic groups, right? God made male and female. In Christ, he has made one new man. But I think all of us would agree that when you got born again, you stayed a dude. When you got born again, you stayed a female. Okay, so those distinctions stay, and because God wants them to be there, but they are not meant to divide. They're meant to show who God is. He couldn't just do it with one gender and one group. So he had to just kind of spread it all out. And different groups display things about God better. So what does he do? When we're reconciled to him, then we become one new man. And then together as one new man, we show forth the glory of God. Still with our distinctions. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when I go to a function here in Zambia and there's dancing, I don't have to be so worried. I just can't. I can't very well. And I don't have to take dancing lessons. I can just be me. At the old church, we bought our land and we were rejoicing. And this little youth came up to me and said, "Pastor Walker, you don't dance very good." Guilty as charged. All right. But that's cool. That's okay. Amen. My kids wouldn't say that that's cool. But all right. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were afar off. And peace to those who are near. The Jews were nearer, still lost. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. Fellow citizens with all the saints and members of the household of God. Listen to that language. Family members, citizens, with all the saints, with all the people of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, that's the body of Christ, the whole structure being joined together. See, there's only one structure. There's only one family. There's only one citizenship. Has grown into a holy temple in the Lord. A holy temple with different sounds, different aromas, different notes, different rhythms, different tastes. Amen. Reverend Tokes, when he comes to Zambia, he can't find chilies here that do it. He just can't find it. Yeah. I say, "Hey, how's those chilies?" He says, "I just have to go home." See, here's what we got to get out of our heads. That's different. Different is not equal to wrong. Different is not equal to superior nor inferior. How many of you know that God needs to heal our eyes? Needs to heal our eyes. Okay. And it happens through the grace of God. Amen. We were built into a dwelling place, verse 22, dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So in this text in Ephesians, it uses the language, in Jesus, by the Spirit, the household of God, access to the Father. All of these things are God things. Amen. And so, in the weeks to come, we're really gonna look and allow God to challenge us. To challenge us. Because here's what I believe. One of the reasons why sometimes as Christians, we don't treat one another well is because we see one another incorrectly. Okay, so our little dog passed away a few months ago, but when we first got him, he lived outside, he slept outside, we gave him dog food, he didn't sleep in a bed. Why? Because he's a dog. Oh, but he shouldn't he eat your food? No, he's a dog. Right? And I know there are people who treat dogs like humans, and I don't have a sermon for you, but, you know, that, you know, God bless you for that. But I don't have a problem kicking my dog off the bed. You're a dog. This is a people bed. Okay? And it's good. The Bible says, be kind to your animals. That's a biblical thing. Okay? But I think sometimes we treat the other gender differently because, I mean, after all, that's just a girl. It's just, you know, the Pharisees prayed every single day. Paul used to pray this. God, I thank you that you've made me a man and not a woman. That's how he started his devotions in the morning. Okay? That's not biblical. All right? God, I thank you that you've made me a Zambian and not a Malawian. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Oh, God, I thank you that my family moved from the DRC a few hundred years ago because, man, it's a mess up there. Whoa, time out. Okay? So because if we don't see people well, it really, really affects how we treat them. Not as image bearers. Not as recipients of the blood of Jesus. Not as fellow citizens, heirs of God, into the household of God. We still keep looking through these other lenses that the world keeps trying to give us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, God, heal our hearts and heal our eyes. Renew our minds. Lord, I don't know every person in this room. God, I don't know their background. I don't know what their parents told them about those people. But, oh, God, that message, it's everywhere, God. But it's not from your heart. It doesn't come from your word. It doesn't come from the cross of Jesus. And so, God, we run, we fly to you for redeeming grace to help us, God. You called us the people of God. So may we be that. May we be that. And so, God, we open up our heart. Help us to see. Inform us. Enlighten us. Rebuke us. Change us. As we approach your word. We're so, so thankful. God, I'm thankful that where we start is not where we have to finish. That our beliefs can change. And start with each one of us in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him would not perish, but experience everlasting, eternal life. God loves you. The Bible screams how important you are to God and how valuable you are to him. Jesus came and gave his life so that you would not live in an eternity without him. See, God's also holy. He's the righteous judge. Well, so how does God allow sinners into heaven? He doesn't. He changes them. He washes them. He makes them like himself. So without that change, you're lost. But you don't have to be. You don't have to be. Jesus came for you and he died in your place, and all the wrath and the punishment of God was on his own son instead of you. Whosoever believes. And so today you've heard the gospel. So now there is an opportunity for you to act on what you've heard. Trust God. Believe him to save you. Believe him to make you into a brand new person. Church membership doesn't do that. Water baptism doesn't do that. Going to a class doesn't do that. Faith in Jesus does that. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I need to be born again, or I'm lost, I'm a Christian who's far away from God, I'm like a prodigal son or a daughter, I need to come home. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to pray so that we can pray together. I'm going to ask you on the count of three to lift your hand up real, real high. Just wave it at me. Ready? One, two, three. Just lift up your hand all over the auditorium. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Whosoever believes. And by lifting up your hand, you're saying, I am believing Jesus today to save me. Anyone else before we pray? All right. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to be dismissed in just a couple minutes. But if you lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking I should have, grab whatever you came to church with. Come and meet me up front. Just take a step out of your old life. In a sense, you're saying, I am following Jesus and I want the whole world to know that I am. We're going to pray together. God absolutely will transform your life. God bless you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else before we pray? God bless you, sir. Amen. Let's just lift up one of our hands towards heaven. Let's pray this to him. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He's raised from the dead, and I follow him. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I follow you. I turn my back on sin, wrong things, the world. I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. You love me. I'm in your family. In your name I pray. Amen.